message in this meal that this is a celebration. It's a memorial meal. The Lord wants us to remember what he did just for us.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen. All right.
It's really going to be all right. It's going to be all right. No need to worry.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. And while you're turning there, I certainly want to encourage the believers who are going through, who are dealing with situations and circumstances that many times go against the fiber of your good Christian character, who work against you, who talk about you, who try to tear you down, and on and on and on. I want to show you how to stand tall when the world tries to tear you down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. There are so many relevant and prevalent points in the Word of God. And this one takes a little different direction from this morning's message, because this one is encouraging the believers in a way to know that as you live in this world and you walk and talk after the manner of Christ, that you must recognize and understand there are some things that the world is not going to appreciate about your Christian character. There are also some things you must understand as a Christian even before you go into the world. Jesus dealt with those things in his earthly ministry, taught his disciples, shared with the believers. And I need the believers to know, if you hadn't figured out yet, the world is not your friend. And this world is not our home. And so we cannot expect the world to treat us as friends and make us comfortable like we're at home because we don't belong here. Why are we here then? I'm glad you asked. We are here to impact and to cause change through our Christian character upon a Christless and sinful world. We are to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father. It is important for us to understand. John 15 and 18, Jesus says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. 19 says, if ye were of the world, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, listen, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Verse 20 of that 15th chapter of John says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But listen to what verse 21 says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And so, my brothers and sisters, you've got to understand, we are treated as hostile witnesses in this world because we come as condemners of this world's system, their lifestyle, their actions and attitudes and ambitions. And that's why we cannot conform to this world. But we're supposed to be transformed. We're changed. We're different. We're peculiar. We're unique. We're holy and royal. So therefore, there must be a difference between us and the world. And when people can't see a difference between you and the world, then they start treating you like you're a part of the world. But listen at this, my brothers and sisters. The more you look like, act like, walk like, talk like Jesus, the more the world will treat you like Jesus. But the more you have of Jesus in you, the more you'll impact the world. And so when we look at the writer of the Hebrews sharing with us some important things that we must consider before you throw in the towel, before you give up, before you get to that point where you're frustrated and you are filled with dismay and despair and want to leave the Christian race and the journey, consider Jesus. Why consider Jesus? Because everything that Jesus went through gives us not only instructions for how we are to handle everything, but encouragement while we're going through the things that we're going through. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are times when you feel like nobody understands what you're going through. Nobody knows the troubles I see. Yeah, that might be true with other people, but Jesus knows each and every one of them. How do you know that, preacher? Well, this same writer of the Hebrews said in the 4th chapter and the 15th verse that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was tempted in all points like as we, but without sin. So the next time you think Jesus don't know what you're going through, when you think Jesus couldn't possibly have the feeling that you've had, couldn't possibly identify, relate, have any possibility of knowing how you could feel at this moment, check yourself. Because the word says he was tempted in all points, like as we, but yet without sin. So what does that say? Jesus knows what you feel. Jesus knows. That's why you can tell him anything and everything, because everything you could possibly tell him, he already knows. What makes Jesus so wonderful as a mediator and advocate for us is when he talks to the Father on our behalf, he can speak from experience. Because he knows, listen, that the only reason why we fall is because we no longer have strength to stand. And if that's the case, then he applies mercy to our situation, because many of us know better, but when we have made the decision not to do better, the strength we need to stand departs from us. See, you can't be on the Lord's side and still sign up for the devil's activities. You got to make up your mind, whose side are you going to be on? And when you recognize this, you're going to recognize there are some things that you must consider about Jesus. I just want to throw them out, and there are so many, many more. But one, you need to consider the word of Jesus. Jesus always used the word in everything that faced him, came against him, that exalted him itself up against the word. Jesus used the word. You can't use the word till you know the word. How many times were you in instances and situations and you just wish you had a word to say, a word to combat the situation, to come against the enemy, to speak against the devil? You had a word, but you can't speak a word if you don't study the word. Listen, how else can I consider Jesus? The works. Why the works? Because Jesus made clear he came to do the works of his Father, the one who had sent him here. He was clear about his work. He was clear about his assignment. He was clear about his anointing, and he did it all to please his Father. We've got to know that God has purposed each and every one of us with a specific work, a specific call. And it doesn't matter if man don't like it. It doesn't matter if man don't know it. It doesn't matter if man don't understand it. Man didn't call you, God did. You are working to please God. No matter how simple your work might be, if it's what God called you to do, do it to the best of your ability, because it brings glory to God. Everybody can't be the head. Everybody can't be the eyes. Everybody can't be the ears. Everybody can't work on the head. Somebody got to work on the feet. But the head couldn't get around like talking about if the feet weren't a part of the body. So don't act like the feet aren't important, because they have an important role to play. Though they're at the furthest part of the extremity of the body, they are yet important. If you don't believe they're important, just hurt your feet. Matter of fact, you ain't got to hurt both of them, just hurt a foot. It'll slow you down if it don't stop you. Amen, lights. Oh, you remember you used to walk with that swag? Get that foot hurting. It changes that swag then. You just dragging in. You just trying to get through. Trying to make it through. Why? Because it's important. And in anything in the body, if it does not work together properly, it affects the whole body. So no matter what your work is, your responsibility is, your call is, do it to the best of your abilities. Consider his wonders. Jesus Christ, signs, wonders, miracles, Acts 2 and 22 says that to us. Why? Why do we consider that? Because many of us are a part of that. There are many things he did that we would believe, and even this dark world might believe upon him. And yet, my brothers and sisters, we forget that the same God who started it still continues it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still working miracles today. He's still performing wonders today. He's still showing signs today. I wish I had a church praying with me today. So that's three things. Consider his wonder, but consider his weariness. He was wearied because he was human just as much as he was divine. He was divinity on the one hand and dust, flesh on the other hand. And in the flesh, he got wearied. He wept because he got wearied. He slept because he got wearied. He dealt and became frustrated because he was made wearied by the faithlessness of many of the people and by how those who claimed to be people of God acted like the enemy. He knows when you get weary. He knows when you get worn. And that's why he teaches us how to retreat and go and spend time with God in prayer. Separate yourself and learn how to spend time with God. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, he tells you to go into your closet and close the door. You might not be able to go on the mountaintop, but you can go in the closet. And that closet is in a private place where you can have a little time with Jesus all by yourself and tell him all about your situations, your circumstances, and your sorrows. And even when you have your Gethsemane experiences where you are so beat down that the sweat drops like great drops of blood, where you're at that place where you're sorrowful even unto death, consider Jesus. What did he do? He prayed to the Father. And three times he prayed to the Father. And look at what the Bible says. When he got through praying, God sent an angel down and strengthened him. So what does that tell me? When I get wearied, I need to have a little talk with God. And if you don't hear me the first time, I need to keep on talking with him. And if you don't hear me that time, I need to keep on talking with him. In other words, I need to keep on talking till he sends an angel down to strengthen me. And when he strengthens me, I said, it makes no never mind what happens. God is on my side, and I have a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Have I got a witness in the house? But look at Jesus winning. Consider Jesus. Why? Because what all he went through, with all that he endured, pressed through, held the course to, it was so that he could win in the end. I said win in the end. I said win in the end. Now what you're making emphasis on in the end for, preacher, here is why. Because some of us want to win in the beginning. Some of us don't want to go through nothing. Listen, even David had sense enough to shout in the beginning of his going through the valley of the shadow of death, because his shout was, though I still have to walk through what I've got to go through, I'm shouting because I'm coming through it. And see, when you are a true believer, when you are confident in the word of God, when you have a relationship with God through Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God, who is greater in you than he that is in the world, everything that comes against you, you shout at it, yay! Can I throw this out parenthetically? When the devil hits you with his best shot, or when the devil starts putting word in your ear that this trouble is on its way, and instead of you freaking out and crying, and oh Lord, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna handle it? If you start saying, yay! Devil say, what's wrong with this fool? What he shouting for? Man, they tell me they about to do this to you. Yay! And if you do it in succession enough like this, yay, 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 yay! What is wrong with this fool? But it's because you know that if they bring the fight to you, you've got sense enough to know it ain't really you they're fighting against. The greater one on the inside of you is with you and they can't see him. But what are you talking about? But let me give you an instance when Elijah was in his house and the enemy came and surrounded Elijah's little old shack. And Elijah's shack came out that morning and he looked and saw all the enemies encircling the house. He ran in out of breath. Elijah, Elijah, we're doomed, man. Ain't nothing we can do. They're all surrounding us. Elijah said, man, catch your breath. Calm yourself. Now let's go back out there. He takes his servant and he goes back outside where all the enemies are still encircling the house. Everywhere he looks, there's enemies all around. What does Elijah then do? He said, this is a good time to have a prayer meeting. He then prays for his servant. And what he tells God is this. He said, God, paraphrased, I know my servant is fearful now. And he don't know you like I know you. And he don't know what I know. And he even don't see what I see. But Lord, do me a favor. Open up his eyes so he can see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And when the servant opened up his eyes, he saw that the enemies that surrounded him, God had a chariot of enemies, of their enemies, circling all around. In other words, God had angels all around their enemies. And when they opened up his eyes and he saw, he didn't have nothing to be afraid of. Well, what am I trying to tell you? When you stop being fearful and frightful and say, God, show me my help, God will show you that they that be with you are more than they that be against you. Somebody ought to shout, yay! And you don't mind telling the devil, bring it on. Because he knows he's gonna lose. And I don't need to tell you today that that enemy that came against him lost the battle. Because God will always show up, especially, listen at this, when you're outnumbered. Somebody didn't get it. And so Jesus shows us how to win in the end. It's not always going to be in the beginning. And with some of us, when it's not in the beginning, we give up. We get scared. We start crying. We become weak. We become fearful. We become ninnies and whiny babies, and we find ourselves asking God, oh, why is this happening to me? Rather than being a strong sense of a representative of the God who cannot fail. You see, when the devil knows that you know who you are, when the devil knows that the greater one is on the inside of you and you're not running from and backing down from him and all that he tries to bring against you, it's just so God can prove to him that you are who God says you are. And sometime God needs you to stand up for him so he can stand up in you. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this word that says, for consider him that endured the contradiction of sinners, such contradiction of sinners against himself. What is it talking about? You remember when he was on the cross and they say, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. That's what the Roman soldiers taunted, wanting him to come down if he was who he said he was. They wanted to see him exert his strength and power. Yet they heard about Jesus, how he had raised the dead, how he had fed thousands with 2 small fish, 5 loaves of bread. They had heard how he was able to touch people's lives and demons would come running out of them. And they had heard how he was able to heal sick bodies of people who had issues of blood and bent over for 18 years and do all of these miraculous works. But now he's hanging on a cross. And so now they're saying, physician, heal thyself. But Jesus does not even yield to their mockery, because he's confident in who he is. Can I throw this out parenthetically? When you know who you are, you don't have to prove anything to anybody.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-9000.